Praise God. Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to John chapter 16. I want to preach a short message this morning on the heels of communion. John chapter 16. Remember, a couple of weeks ago, we started a message, Navigating Through Life's Faith Journey. And there were seven things that I listed to you that I think the Lord has given to us to help us navigate through this culture, through life journey. They're listed on the board. We talked, first of all, about the power of the Word of God. How many know this is our compass that we use to navigate through this life? Amen? This is our compass and how important the Word of God is, the Bible. And then last week we talked about prayer. And prayer is that power. If the Bible is our compass with that needle, it points true north. Sometimes when you get blindsided, sometimes when you get broadsided, life brings you the unexpected. It'll spin that needle. Well, prayer is the power that points that needle back to true north. It slows it down, gets that needle pointed in the right direction so we can see what direction we're going to go. Prayer, the Bible, very important. This morning, I want to talk about the third one, the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. And then later it'll be the power of God's presence and obedience to God's will, and the power of godly counsel and faith in a faithful God. Most of those will probably be wrapped up in one message. But anyway, today, in the time remaining, I want to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. Let it be on record that our church and our organization and personally, I believe this as well, that we believe in the triune God. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are three, yet they are one in purpose and unity. They're all God. And when we speak of the Holy Spirit, though we may mistakenly say this once in a while just because it slips out, the Holy Spirit is not an it. It is a He. He, the Holy Spirit. Him, the Holy Spirit. And in this passage, you'll see references to the Holy Spirit, and they're capitalized for a reason. It's because the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead, the Trinity, we call it. And we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe that when you give your heart to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell inside you. And we know that He brings a multitude of gifts that are a blessing to us. Barb mentioned it. David mentioned it. One of those wonderful gifts is the ability to have a prayer language. We call it speaking in tongues. It's an incredible, powerful part of the Christian life. But I want to read to you, starting chapter 16, verse 5, on the work of the Holy Spirit in helping us navigate through this life and culture that we are in. And we know that it's difficult. There are things happening in our day that have never happened in any generation previous to us. They are unique to our generation. And many of them are happening in order to knock the Christian off the track, to knock the ship off the course. But if we'll read our Bibles and believe it as our compass, if we will pray and believe God and get that needle pointed in the right direction, and if we'll rely on the power of the Holy Spirit will help us navigate the landmines that the enemy tries to set for us. Amen? We need the power of the Holy Spirit. So here we go, verse 5 of chapter 16. But now I go away, these are the words of Jesus, to Him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, capitalized, the Helper, that's the Holy Spirit. It's one of His names, one of His attributes. The Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send Him to you. Jesus sends the Comforter, the Helper. The Holy Spirit, Jesus sends Him. And when He has come, He meaning the Holy Spirit, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. And when it refers to the ruler of this world, He's not talking about the Caesar who ruled in Rome. He's talking about the devil. How many know that? He's talking about the devil. He is the ruler of the world, all right? And He is judged. That's what happened on the cross. Jesus defeated the enemy. Praise God. And so He is a defeated foe. All right, verse 13. And this is very important. This speaks to us of navigating. It says, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, or the Holy Spirit, has come. He will guide you into all truth. And again, the word guide is a navigation term. He will guide you. He'll direct you. He will show you the way that you should go. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. That's another work that the Holy Spirit does for us. He will glorify me, verse 14, he will glorify me. The Holy Spirit's job, purpose, if you will, is to glorify Jesus and to lift him up. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, just flip a page backwards, probably in most of your Bibles, to chapter 14 of John, verses 15 through 18. Again, it's Jesus' words. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. He says, verse 15 of chapter 14, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. The word there is in the Greek is parakletos. It means it's translated comforter. So we call the Holy Spirit a comforter. We call him a helper. We call him a guide. These are all things that the Holy Spirit does for us. But here he's called the helper or the comforter. That he may abide with you forever. The sense of abiding means he's going to live in you. He's going to be with you. He's not going to leave you. He's going to abide with you forever. He is called the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit, because he guides us into truth. And that truth will always be what the Word of God teaches. Whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. How many are glad for the presence of the Holy Spirit today? Amen? The presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives and the way that he works through us. Now, this may be a new area for some of you that maybe are new to the faith, but let me assure you, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. The Holy Spirit does not intrude into any life. He comes where he is invited. Amen? And when you invite Christ into your life, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us. He abides within us. And he begins the work of comforter and guide. He does the work of helper. He does the work of bearing us to Jesus and helping and ministering to us. Incredible work of the Holy Spirit that he does. So, back to our theme, though, of navigating life's faith journey. The Holy Spirit abiding within us is the unseen determination to go on in the face of enormous odds. When you are navigating yourself through this faith journey of life, we call it, and you come against some hard, difficult obstacles, and you may be tempted to throw in the towel, it is the power of the Holy Spirit, that unseen power within you that gives us the determination that we can go on in the face of those enormous odds. It is the Holy Spirit. He's that powerful voice that comes to a person when all the circumstances say, you're finished. When it says, you're done. You won't make it through this storm. It's the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you that says and gives you the ability to say, I've only begun to fight. Amen? We don't have that power in ourselves. I'm telling you, the human spirit can do a lot. The human spirit that God has blessed everybody with, even non-believers, can do a lot and overcome insurmountable odds sometimes. But I'll tell you, beyond that, we need a power beyond ourselves, beyond our own spirit, and that is the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's the power and the presence of God in our lives through the Holy Spirit. And so it is that little voice inside of us that says, you can make it. The Holy Spirit is that power in the proverbial captain of the ship that says, sail on. We can do this. We can make it to our destination. It is the power in the rowers in the bowels of that ship that are rowing with those oars that says, we can do this. Push a little harder. It is that grit and determination that comes to us when we realize we can't do this on our own. And I don't care who you are, if you're a man or a woman, if you're a husband or wife, if you're a son or a daughter, if you're a worker, you're retired, there come some times when in this journey our ship is hit broadside. It is hit by the storms, and they come and they overflow us. And if it's not for the power of the Holy Spirit that convinces us we can make it, we would be lost at sea. But I'm telling you, with the Bible as our compass and prayer that stabilizes us, the Holy Spirit that encourages us, we're going to make the journey. Come on, amen. We're going to make the journey. I was thinking the other day, I got caught in one of those downpours. I don't know where you were, but it just let loose. It was like buckets of water. And you know what? It didn't faze me because I'm a Northwesterner. How many Northwesterners do we have here, right? We're from the Northwest, you bet. Now, I originally come from California, so I'm a Californian but by birth, but I'm a Northwesterner at heart. Storms don't bother me, but in California, they get 2 inches and they close the state down. And yet I have to qualify that because we can't judge that. See, because in California, and I've lived there, I know that in California, there's areas 2 inches of rain, that'll flood everything, and that's a storm to them. And we can't make light of that. But up here, 2 inches, we rejoice. We go out and put in our garden in 2 inches of rain. That's what we are. Amen. But storms are storms, no matter how you are. I know I hear about people in Arizona. I don't know much about Arizona, but I know sometimes in Arizona, they'll get like a quarter inch of rain and you would think it was Armageddon. I don't know, but a storm is a storm. And it'll rock your boat and it'll rock your ship. But it's the power of the Holy Spirit that says to us, you can make it through this. And gives us directions on how to navigate through those difficult, difficult times. It is that determination that was in a young man named Desmond Doss. You'll recognize the name Desmond Doss because it's a newer movie that's out called Hacksaw Ridge. Desmond Doss was a Christian young man who wanted to serve his country in World War II, and so he enlisted. But he was a conscientious objector. He says, I want to go and help, but I want to save lives. I don't want to take up arms or a gun. And so he enlisted, and they accepted him, but he had a lot of hassle from his fellow soldiers. They didn't want him around. But he ended up being able to go to war, and so he ended up in the South Pacific on the island of Okinawa. And Okinawa was one of the worst battles as far as people that were killed and injured in the whole World War II. It was a devastating place, both on the Japanese side and the American side. But they had to take, Desmond was a medic, and they had to take Hacksaw Ridge. And so I don't want to give too much of the movie away in case you want to see it, but they had to climb up this steep embankment and get on top. And when they got on top, it was horrible what was happening. There were machine gun nests and mines and all of that. And pretty soon the leader of Desmond's troop said, we've got to go back. We've got to go back. And so they begin to leave. And as they begin to leave, Desmond said, I can't. I'm here to save lives. And so he began to take soldiers and he was told, Desmond, you've got to leave. And he says, I can't leave. I enlisted to save lives. And so he would take a soldier. He'd go out into the battlefield trying to avoid the fire and the gunfire. And he would take and he would drag that soldier to the edge of the cliff. He would wrap a rope around him and he would lower him down. They would bring the rope up and he would go again. And he would go again. And he worked all night long. And the field hospital kept saying, where are all these injured soldiers coming from? And they said, that's Desmond. He's still up there dragging men out of danger. And he kept doing it all night long. And he says, and he testifies to this, he said, after about 50 men, or about 25 or 50 men, he said, Lord, give me the strength to save one more. And he would go out and he would take another man that was injured and was going to die, and he would bring him to the edge and lower him down. And he would say, Lord, give me the strength to save one more. And he would go back. And by the time that thing was over, he had saved 75 GIs from sure death because he knew that's what God wanted him to do. an incredible story of bravery and determination, because there was something in it. What was in Desmond Doss that it made him be able to do that? I believe it was the power of the Holy Spirit that says, you can do this. One more soldier, one more soldier. How many believe we can pray the same thing? God, give us the strength to win one more to Jesus, to help one more person for the Lord, to make it one more day, one more month, one more week, or maybe one more hour or one more minute. God, give me the strength. How many's ever prayed that prayer before? Come on. God, give me the strength. Well, the Holy Spirit within us is that power that gives us the strength to save one more man, or to pray one more prayer, or to go one more mile. I'm telling you, it's the power of the Holy Spirit. When we would give up, when we would be discouraged, when we would reach the place where we said, I can't do this anymore, the power of the Holy Spirit will keep us going. Now, I talked to you a couple weeks ago, or last night, last Sunday, I think, I talked about, you know, prayer or the Bible. That's our compass, and how we need to read it, because this will point us in the right direction and keep us going, and we need to follow the Word. And then last week I talked about prayer and how we need to sometimes get our Bibles and kneel down, and with our Bibles open, then begin to pray. We take the Bible and then we take prayer. Well, the Holy Spirit comes in when we do that, and it's the Holy Spirit that directs us in the Word of the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit as we read a passage, and the Holy Spirit says, that's what you need to do. Or the Holy Spirit will say, that verse is for you. Or maybe we'll read a passage and it won't mean anything to us. It's the Holy Spirit that'll take that word, plant it in your heart, because the Holy Spirit knows 6 months from now you need that verse, and He'll bring it to your remembrance. Do you know what I'm talking about? Amen. Now, if you can't kneel, and remember I talked about that, sometimes you can't kneel. Fortunately, I still can. I may be 65 with my Medicare card, but I can still kneel, and I thank God for that. Maybe come a day that I can't. But if you're a sitter like Cheryl, I talked about her prayer. Most of my wife's prayer is sitting at the table. Her Bible is open, and she's praying to God. It's the Holy Spirit that speaks to her as she begins to read the Word. She's dealing with some challenges. It's the Holy Spirit that shows her how to handle those situations and who to pray for. And I've told you before, I'll come into the house, and she'll be at the table praying, and I'll hear your names to the Lord in prayer. She'll be calling out your name to the Lord. Or maybe you're like the person who likes to walk, and with their Bible, you're reading and you're walking and you're praying. It's the Holy Spirit that begins to direct your attention and maybe says, turn here or to there. And you say, well, what about the devil? Doesn't the devil speak? Yes, the devil does speak too. But you know how you can tell the difference between the devil's voice and the Holy Spirit's voice? The Holy Spirit will always tell you the truth. The devil will always tell you a lie. Come on. Amen. How many know the devil's a liar? There's no truth in him, the Bible says. So anything the devil says is a lie. So if you're reading a verse and you read it and you hear this voice that says, don't believe that, that's really out of date. How many know that's not the Holy Spirit? How many know that's the enemy, right? All right. How many know you're reading your Bible and you read a verse and you go and you think to yourself, oh my goodness, my husband would really need that verse right now. How many know that's not the devil, that's the Holy Spirit? Amen. The devil doesn't want you praying for your husband, ladies, right? He doesn't want you praying for your husbands. And so he'll try to lie to you. So that's the difference. We know the enemy lies, but God never lies. The Holy Spirit doesn't lie. I was driving here a couple weeks ago. I'm not sure if I shared this with you or not, but I was driving back from the camp on the River Road. There's about 11 miles, nine miles, because I take a shortcut, 9 miles on the Washougal River Road that I drive a lot. And I was driving, I was pretty burdened. And let me tell you this, if the Holy Spirit, you're praying, you're reading your Word, and the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you hear a voice that speaks to you and says, you need to pray for somebody, you need to pray for Bernie, or you need to pray for Barb, or something like that, you need to obey that right then. I don't care if you're at work, if you're at play, if it's at late at night, if the Holy Spirit says pray, you pray for them, right? And the Holy Spirit will reveal that to you. Now, you may not know why you're praying for them, but it's important that you pray. Even at work, and the Holy Spirit brings someone to mind, you can keep doing your work and still pray, right? You can. How many know that? You can still pray. Inside, you pray. God's got a reason for that. So I was driving down the River Road, and I was especially burdened, and I want to thank you, whoever you were that were praying for Pastor, I want to thank you because you were a great help to me on that day. I don't know if God laid me on anybody's heart, but if the Holy Spirit ever speaks and say, pray for Pastor Staton, I want you to do it right then. Please do it right then, because he knows I need it. Amen? Because I do that for you. So I'm on the River Road, and this song that they just sang for offering, my strength, my shield, my sword, it came on my phone. I was listening to music, and it came on. And as it did, I tell you, my van filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit. It was incredible. I began to weep. I began to sob. I began to shake. I began to pray. There was such an incredible power of the Holy Spirit in that car as that song was playing, and the tears were flowing, and then it dawned on me, my eyes are closed. And I'm driving on the River Road, and I open my eyes, and I'm like this, and the power of the Holy Spirit, and I'm doing like this, and I'm praying, and it's night, and cars are coming, and I'm just saying, oh, Jesus, thank you, oh, God, and I'm just, oh, praise the Lord, and, you know, it's just incredible what's going on, the power of the Holy Spirit, and that lasted all the way till I got to my cutoff turn, and then it just kind of lifted. Thanks, straight road, and now you lifted, right? Anyway, it was just an incredible experience. Now, I didn't tell Cheryl, but it slipped out the other day. I was talking to someone, and I mentioned it, and she looked at me, and she said, well, it's something you should say that, because just about the time that happened, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, pray for your husband, pray for his safety, pray that God would lift that burden. She was praying for me at that very moment. Because she obeyed the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And maybe some of you did the same thing. How many know that's what the power of the Holy Spirit will do? Amen. We need to listen to that voice. You say, oh, that's just my imagination. Oh, no, it's not. That is the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. If he speaks to you to pray for someone, or to intercede, or to pray in your prayer language, just obey the Lord. Just obey the Lord. You may never know the results of what happened. But I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit will use that. I appreciate, where's David? Is David still in, or did he have to slip out? Anyway, he had to leave, but his testimony. And Mary, raise your hand, Mary. That's David's sister and her husband, Roy. Matter of fact, they just celebrated 50-year wedding anniversary. Congratulations. Wow. That's great. But I'm almost certain, I haven't talked to Mary about this too much, but I'm almost certain it was the Holy Spirit that spoke to her about calling David to meet her at the bowling alley, all right? And then to invite him to church. Because, I don't know if you heard the testimony, but months before that, they'd been praying for David at the women's prayer meeting. They'd taken the picture of loved ones and put them in a prayer box and prayed over those pictures. And David was one of those pictures they put in that box. It was the Holy Spirit, amen, that did that. And a number of people got saved. I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit speaks, we need to listen. And we need to react right then. Because the Holy Spirit has given us, that's one of the things that God, one of the ways that God has given us to navigate through this journey, this faith journey. And what a privilege it is to have the Holy Spirit within us. All right, one more verse, and I'm going to close right here. I want you to turn to John 16, 33. I could talk about the Holy Spirit all day long and all week long, and we wouldn't even scratch the surface of what we could say about the Holy Spirit. But I want to end it on this note. John 16, 33. Still the words of Jesus. He said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. I've spoken these things. What are these things? These things are what he has spoken about the Holy Spirit. I have spoken these things about the Holy Spirit so that you might have peace. See, peace is the difference between the world and the believer. The world can go so far without it, and beyond that, they can't handle things. But the believer can go beyond what you can handle and handle so much more if we just have the peace of God that passes understanding. In all these 45 years of ministry, Cheryl and I have been married 45 years. We were pastoring our first church 3 days after we got married. And 6 months before we got married, we were holding services in the morning at a church that had been closed down. We've been at this a long time. And I'll tell you this right now. I have seen it over and over again. The reason Christians can make it through the storms of life that hit us and hit our ship broadside is the peace that passes understanding. If we've got the peace of God, we can handle anything. Hallelujah. But you take the peace of God out of the equation, and we're going to shipwreck for sure. Amen? So these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now, this word tribulation doesn't refer to a future tribulation. It refers to what we go through in our Christian life. All right? It's not an event. It's not capitalized. It is a process. It comes from a Greek word that means to tribulate. Tribulate means to beat the dirt out of kind of thing. How many remember the old wringer, washer, agitator? How many remember the agitators? I mean, no, the devil's an agitator. For you that are younger, an agitator, what it did, it beat the dirt out of the clothes. It beat it out. It was a great invention. And so I'd watch my grandma's agitator and throw in those jeans, and boy, it'd just beat them up, beat them up, beat them up. That's what tribulation is. How many's ever felt like you've been agitated? You've been beat up, amen? But then it's not done. Remember what you did after it beat the dirt out of it? Then you pulled it out and put it in the what? The ringer. How many's ever been through the ringer? You young folks may not understand that, but that's where that idea comes from, in the ringer. And I used to see those jeans go through the ringer, and it would just pressure. And I know they work because I got my hand in one time. And thank God, Grandma went from one of the early models to the revised model that had the safety hitch on it, you know, that if it got too much pressure, it kicked up. Thank God for that. But see, that's what happens to us. In the world, you will have tribulation. It'll hit you. It'll put you through the ringer. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit will help us through those times. It may hit our ship and throw it off course, but if we'll get our compass out, the Bible, and start praying to study that needle, the power of the Holy Spirit will give us the courage to go on in the face of the storm, because brighter days are ahead. Hallelujah. Because we're on our way to heaven, folks. Point A to point B. Point B is heaven. We're going to be with the Lord someday. But to get there, we've got to navigate, and the Holy Spirit will help us navigate to where we ought to go. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. Father, we thank you this morning for the power of your word. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for residing inside the believers. We thank you for your strength that you give us, that you speak to other people on our behalf to have them pray and intercede. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you direct us and our thoughts and our prayers toward other people. We may never know why we're praying for them, but we will be obedient. Holy Spirit, you give us a power beyond ourselves so that we can pray, Lord, give me the strength to save just one more. Lord, give me the strength to walk one more mile, to live one more day, one more hour. Give me strength. And Holy Spirit, bring us peace. We thank you for the peace that you give us through the difficulties of our life. Father, I thank you that you have not thrown us down here to navigate on our own, but you have been so faithful to give us these wonderful tools that we can use, and one, the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being in our lives and for giving us direction and pricking our conscience when it needs to be pricked. Lord, for Holy Spirit, for cheering us on when we've done well, and for being constantly there, never failing, bringing us to Jesus. Lord, right now, if anybody here is going through the tribulation time of being tribulated, they're going through the ringer, they're going through a hard time right now, Holy Spirit, bring them the peace that passes understanding. They're going to make it through because the Holy Spirit is inside of them. Thank you now, Lord, for this service. It's been great to be together. Wonderful time, wonderful testimonies, wonderful communion. Just, it's a delight, and we thank you for it. Now, watch over us as we go about this coming week. Be with us, we pray. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you give the Lord a clap offering today and thank Him for the Holy Spirit?